Turning next to the international update, there's also a landmark case that is out of the UK right now with two consolidated appeals from Huawei versus Conversant Wireless and Unwired Planet licensing entities. And what's at issue here really is whether or not it would be Fran for you to take and assert your patents, your standard essential patents, and say, great, you want to take a license? Well, you can take a license, but you have to do so only on a global portfolio basis. And so the question that the UK Supreme Court has to decide now is whether or not that is actually fair, reasonable, and non-discriminatory to go ahead and only license on a global portfolio basis as opposed to just licensing the UK patents. And so the judgments leading up to the Supreme Court decision held that that was Fran, that would be permissible, that for business efficiencies and other reasons that you could actually license on this portfolio basis. And so this is a landmark case because if this actually comes to be the law in the UK, you can expect that patent owners will see the UK as a very favorable location to litigate SEP cases. So stay tuned for that. That's another heavy decision that will probably take some time, even though it was just heard in October last year over 4 days. So we don't expect that tomorrow, let's say that. The last thing that I'll mention here is just the fact that there is a new European Commission that was recently elected at the end of last year, and already we've seen a flurry of activity from industry, those involved in SEP licensing, that are very keen to sort of guide the European Commission's signal that they want to work on intellectual property laws and remedies. And so to the extent that 5G, artificial intelligence, a lot of emerging technologies will be very dependent on the licensing environment, this is something to pay attention to and see how the new European Commission deals and sets policy dials over in Europe right now. And so with that, I will turn it over to Andy, who will then give us his views. Andy, please. I don't think we can hear Andy in the room.
Can you hear me? I'm connected through my phone. Can you hear that?
Yeah, we can hear you now, Andy. Please go ahead.
Okay, great. So thanks for asking me to participate here. And the first thing I'd like to mention is I am participating from Seattle. We are practicing appropriate social distancing here in Seattle. I'd like to remind everybody to stay at least 6 feet away from your computer monitor in order to exercise the best in social distancing here. What I'd like to do is give a little bit of history and some of the philosophy behind how the standard essential patent licensing, SEP licensing, has evolved. So looking at that history, if you go back about 20 years or so when the cellular standards were first being licensed, at that time, the thing that was being licensed was a single-function device. It was a cell phone. It was used to make phone calls. A couple of things happened at that time for that device. The companies that were involved in creating the cellular standards, they got together and they agreed among themselves that they would use a licensing methodology based on 6 to 8% of the device price. And that might have been, in some ways, appropriate to look to the total device for the royalty base at that time because it was a single function device. And the Federal Circuit and the Supreme Court have long been clear that under the entire market value rule, you're generally not allowed to extract a royalty based on a multi-component device unless the particular patented feature is the basis for consumer demand. So that's the basic entire market value rule. But 20 years ago, that might have been appropriate for cell phones at the time because back then, cell phones were used to make phone calls, and so it's possible that the entire market value rule could have been satisfied. So if you want to advance the slide. So that's very different. The situation from 20 years ago is obviously very different from the situation today. They are massively complex computing devices. You connect with cellular. You can connect with Wi-Fi. Most of my usage of my smartphone is through Wi-Fi. You connect with Bluetooth. Consumers buy these devices for their camera functionality, for music, for video, and there is a platform for a tremendous array of new businesses. Chris, if you could advance. So just an extraordinary development in the area that has expanded what began as a single function device to make phone calls, and now it is used for many, many different things. So the question I think that gets posed is the licensing methodology that developed 20 years ago appropriate today, given the evolution of the device today? And is the 6-8% aggregate royalty that the licensors agreed upon at that time, is that still appropriate to apply to an entire device when now only a very tiny fraction of that device is devoted to cellular connectivity? Chris, if you could advance to the next slide. So what we have now in terms of differences is just the sheer number of devices greatly exceeds the number of consumers, and the phone call, using the smartphone to make phone calls is actually a fraction of the use of the network. And I know for example, my kids in particular, they all have smartphones. They almost never use the phones to make a phone call. It is always used for the Wi-Fi or perhaps Bluetooth connections, but not cellular connections.